Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 12, Lost in the Tropics. I am one of your hosts, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is the world's biggest fan of Pixels the movie, Chris Slate.
Hello. It's not true.
It's so true. And today we're here to talk about Nintendo once again. And our big topic this week is going to be surviving the great game drought of 2015. If you are a Nintendo fan, you are already well familiar with this, and we'll try to give you some tips to survive. But first, we'll start with the news. And our first topic is a game we are very much looking forward to that will be a big part of ending this game drought, and that is Super Mario Maker.
That's right. The drought officially ends when that game releases on September 11th. And maybe droughts of the future will not be nearly as bad because that game, I feel like I'm going to be playing it forever.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much content in that. And everything we hear about just reveals more and more and more. There's even more in the game than we suspected.
Yeah, I've been. It seems like a lot of the press have gotten their hands on a copy of the game, and you can't go on YouTube now without tripping over footage of levels that people are making. Mm-hmm. We've learned a few new tidbits as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, in the official trailer that Nintendo put out not very long ago, just a few days ago, for Mario Maker, it mm-hmm. really went through a lot of the game's new features and revealed a few new things. And one of the most major revelations we'll get to in just a second. But one of the neat things is that, you're going to be able to play as all these different characters via the costumes feature.
Yeah, mostly that's tied to the amiibo that are out there.
Exactly. But also, and as the video puts it, there are over 50 amiibo that will work with the game. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, I believe, IGN, who's been playing an early build of the game, mentioned that they think the number is closer to 70. Not sure how official that is. But also, we've heard before that there were 100 costumes you could do. So apparently there's a big chunk of costumes that you can get that aren't tied to any kind of amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so
we've heard this before, you can unlock even the amiibo costumes you can unlock without having to have the amiibo. We're not mm-hmm. quite sure how you do that yet.
Yeah, but all those characters are in there, the Wii Fit Trainer and, a sprite, a little sprite of Yoshi, Princess Peach in her dress.
I've seen
a Silver Mario.
Yeah, even Silver Mario, Bowser, Sheik even. You can see videos of a lot of these characters being used on YouTube. And it's cool because you not only costumes only work if you're using the original Super Mario Brothers theme. They're all pixel art, so they don't match, necessarily. And in very rudimentary pixel art, so they don't match with the other themes.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get some specific sound effects with most of them, and when you complete a level, you hop on the flagpole, you get specific victory music tied to those characters.
That's pretty cool.
Like with Luigi, you hear a little bit of the Luigi's Mansion theme.
Yeah, this is going to be the best Sonic platformer that's ever been released, probably.
Exactly. It will be. And when you press
best
up...
Best Mega Man platformer released in years.
Uh-huh. When you replace up on the D-pad, they even do like a little special... taunt, for lack of a better term, or pose is probably more accurate. Like Link holds up the Triforce and it makes that classic, do-do-do-do sound. So.
Yeah, if only Mega Man could shoot.
So,
I guess after he gets a fireball, can you do that? Is that a thing? Probably not.
Oh, and you know what I found out too is that you can even set it when you're making your level so that you start as one of those characters. You don't even have to grab the mushroom. You can begin the level as Pac-Man or whoever.
All right, so it's going to turn into Sonic Maker and Mega Man Maker.
Yep, until you get hit, then you lose the costume and Mario is revealed. And some of the more bizarre ones that I've seen, and these are the ones that I imagine won't require any kind of amiibo unless they've got some crazy plans for future amiibo, is you can run around inside of a coin block, kind of like you can in some of the later New Super Mario Brothers games. You can even look, basically replace the Mario sprite with a sprite for a Super Mario Brothers 1 trampoline. So mm-hmm. some really bizarre... wonky things are out there if you want to check out the videos.
Yeah, there's even a rumor that Tingle is one of these unlockable sprites.
That's right. There was like a supposed screenshot, but people were debating its authenticity, so we're not quite sure about that one yet.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, the negative side to some of this is that one of the things Nintendo announced is that most of the content has to be unlocked, and that is through a time system. It's a timer. You have to play the game for a short amount each day.
At least 5 minutes.
Yeah. But you won't unlock, all this content, until 9 days have passed of you playing it. And that's not even for everything. There's some stuff that's unlocked in other ways, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I believe you might have to unlock the different themes, for example. Like if you, at least one person with the, I don't know if this is a final production copy or a pre-release build, and maybe it was limited. But one person on YouTube, I noticed they only had the original Super Mario Brothers 1 theme and the new Super Mario Brothers theme. They didn't have the other games.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your palette, all your creative tools there, it's going to take 9 days before you get everything.
Right. If you play 5 minutes each day, then it takes 9 days to get all the tools that's available.
So and, what do you think? Are you cool with this?
Well, there have been some pretty heated debates in a lot of message forums, NeoGAF in particular, about whether or not this is a good thing, a bad thing, or something we should ultimately be indifferent about. I think the arguments made for it is that, look, it'll help you kind of ease into the game. Sitting in front of that many options initially is overwhelming.
I mean, I think that's probably true, but that seems kind of a draconian way to do it. I mean, they're really putting the screws in. We are guaranteeing you are not going to get that content early, I guess.
It's strange that
you can fool around with the clock and get around it. I don't know.
It's possible if you move the clock forward a day, played for 5 minutes, moved it forward a day again. But it's weird that they would time it to days. Like you'd think, okay, maybe if they want to slow release the stuff, then have some other metric, have a way they mm-hmm. measure how much you've played.
And yeah, have a real in-game tutorial or something like that if they really want you to make sure that you've learned how to do this stuff.
Or something like where maybe if you have to use each of the, you have to make a couple of levels with the basic tile set and then mm-hmm. the next tile set unlocks. Making you wait 9 days, over a week, is pretty crazy. And the reason that is what annoys me is I feel like as someone who has, obviously I've never played Super Mario Maker before, but as someone who is very familiar with the Mario games, I've played and beaten every Super Mario game ever made, I feel like I have a very good grasp on what these tools are and what they bring to the table.
Hold on. I'm still amazed at the fact that you beat every Super Mario game ever made. I did not know that. Well, I will bring you a cookie sometime to celebrate this.
Well, I'm sure you have too.
I've never beat the Lost Levels.
Oh, yeah. I did beat the Lost Levels back when they first came out as part of Super Mario All-Stars, I think. I may have warped through it. I can't remember if you can warp or how far you can warp. It's been years.
And there's also a couple of the new Super Mario Brothers games I haven't beat. I don't think I beat New Super Mario Brothers 2, and I know I didn't beat the Wii U one because my system died on me. I lost all my progress. I never went back.
Oh, yeah. Now, Mario is one of those few franchises where I not only try to beat them, but I try to unlock every level and get 100%.
I'm Zelda complete, but I am not Mario complete. Mm. But I'm getting off track now.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I think, if I'm going to – also, I think I've probably got some ideas already. Like if you sit down and you say, okay, I have a theme in mind, I want to create a level based around this. Well, in a lot of cases, you're not going to be able to do that on day one or even day two or day three. Mm-hmm. It's not until day nine you can really have a vision and then build a level around it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, this is a good idea to slow things down to a trickle so they aren't overwhelmed. But for people who have done this for a long time, that are real well-practiced gamers and real familiar with the series, it seems like there should be some, quick, easy workaround to get all the stuff right away. It's going to just be frustrating, a frustrating 9 days for them.
I've heard it suggested that maybe even just on the sly, Nintendo could provide a cheat code to just mm-hmm. go ahead and unlock everything if you feel like you're ready for the advanced, quick path to making levels. Mm-hmm. But so if the first few days are really just going to be...
If you know the continue code from Super Mario Brothers, just use that.
Yeah. So for the first few days, it's really just going to be kind of making levels somewhat aimlessly. Like, let me just fool around and see what I can come up with what I've got. Now, having said that, in the long run, I'm going to be playing this game for years, I imagine. So mm-hmm. the first 9 days aren't going to really amount to much. And it's not like you still can't make fun levels with even the day one tool palette.
Yeah, even trying that might be a fun activity in and of itself, trying to work around those limitations.
But it is, for a game that I've been looking forward to for so long, it is a little bit of a wet blanket to just, I'm so close and all of a sudden they say, oh yeah, and for the first 9 days. You're
now I feel like really... the game's not really coming out till September 20th.
Yeah, yeah, it is. For 9 days, you're going to be in tutorial mode, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, I think ultimately that's unfortunate. Does it really, considering how great this game's probably going to be, does it really matter in the long scheme of things? No. So it is what it is.
It is. If I have to take a stand, though, I'm going to say no, not a fan, kind of against it. But, it's not the end of the world or anything.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I do think it is there probably could have been some other kind of approach to a tutorial situation where, especially for people new to the series, they could have eased people into it. But more than a week is you're not just easing people into it. You're really just kind of carrying them painstakingly, slowly through the learning process.
Yeah. Now, if you want to, you know, get started in a new game, Nintendo's offering a nice new way to do that with Splatoon.
Yeah. Some people may remember that before Splatoon came out, they had this demo called the Global Test Fire. And essentially, it seemed like it was just, like you see with a lot of first-person shooters, it was just a server test.
Yeah, quick beta test to make sure they could handle the load.
Exactly. But they're re-releasing it for, you know, at this point, Splatoon's a success, and a lot of people may have heard about it, maybe people that are beyond the core kind of fan base who would have known about it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So for those folks, if they're curious, they're giving them another chance to jump in and try it out for free. And I believe that is going to be going from August 21st through the 23rd.
Yeah, as we are recording this, that would be this coming weekend.
Uh-huh. And every day from 3 to 5 Pacific time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern each day. So, yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah, if you haven't tried it yet, it's a great opportunity to jump on board and blast some squids.
And it's an absolutely amazing game. So anybody who's listening, if they haven't had a chance to try it, they should definitely check it out. And speaking of fun stuff going on with Splatoon, they've...
Yes, there was some big news announced from my point of view, and that is they're doing a crossover with Transformers.
That's right. It's the next, what do they call it?
Splatfest.
Splatfest.
Yeah, before we had you know, hot dogs versus marshmallows and cats versus dogs.
And this time you choose a side, Autobots or Decepticons.
Yes. Evil Decepticons or heroic Autobots.
And you're given a cool shirt, just like you always are, to participate in this. Leading up to, you can get the shirt now, and leading up to the weekend, you can go ahead and play games to go ahead and level up your perks for that shirt. Unfortunately, it goes away once Splatfest is over. But it either has a cool Decepticon logo on it or a cool Autobot logo.
And the thing is that this is, you know, like legitimate, real Transformers, not crappy Michael Bay Transformers. It's actually based on the most recent cartoon, Robots in Disguise. But, you know, it's got, you know, very similar aesthetic to the classic Transformers. But it's not the weird, gnarly-looking Michael Bay stuff where you can't really tell if it's a robot face or, you know, just a chunk of lead that fell out of a, you know, furnace somewhere.
Yeah. And it's really cool to see Nintendo going the extra mile with even something like this, just a weekend tournament, that they mm-hmm. reach out and have a special deal with Hasbro just mm-hmm. to make this happen.
Yeah, there appear to be, like, you know, Transformers posters, you know, in the environments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly and, you know, not something I ever would have expected.
Now, here's the big question, though. I mean, as much as I've been playing Splatoon and you came over one weekend and played quite a bit, and seem to enjoy it, but you still haven't bit the bullet and actually picked up Splatoon. Now, with the Global Test Fire coming out and also specifically the Transformers, I mean, you're wearing a Transformers the movie shirt, the original animated movie, the good one, as we sit here recording this. So,
you foolish fool, this isn't Transformers the movie. It's just Transformers. Get it straight, yo.
Oh, it's the same style as the movie, same logo and everything. Anyway, it's classic Transformers, Generation 1 Transformers. So
and
if anything was
going to
get you
inspired by this news, by the way.
So if anything was finally going to get you to buy this game, is this going to do it? Are you going to pick it up?
I'm not committing to anything yet, but it might do the trick. But, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, back at Nintendo Power, all of us were, you know, huge Transformers fans. I mean, you a little bit less, but me, Steve, Justin, and Phil, you know, like somehow all of the main staff of Nintendo Power is like all Transformers fans, big-time Transformers fans by some weird coincidence. I don't think it was a qualification for getting the job, but yeah, somehow we all wound up, you know, as huge fans of this, working together. And in fact, you know, Justin and Phil even do a Transformers toy podcast, you know, every week, Points of Articulation. So yeah, I'm sure all of us are pretty excited about that. And it's pretty cool to see. And I feel like somehow, you know, this is like the culmination of our master plan, you know, 3 years after Nintendo Power ended.
So if you were playing in the Splatfest this weekend, which side would you choose, Decepticons or Autobots?
Decepticons forever.
All right. Well, I'm going to choose Autobots, probably because I would have chosen them anyway, but specifically to force you to join up, to negate my Autobot vote.
What an evil thing to do. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to 3D Gunstar Heroes, which hits the eShop this week. And, you know, by the time a lot of people are hitting this, it will probably already be on the eShop. That is a classic side-scrolling action shooter from Sega and the dudes at Treasure. And it has been enhanced with stereoscopic 3D and should be on the eShop right about now.
For people who really fondly remember the Sega Genesis, that game is at the top or near the top of a lot of lists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is a really fantastically well-made game. You know, it's similar to Contra in some ways. I mean, if I had to compare the two, you know, Contra would always be my favorite. Gunstars, it has, you know, different type of pacing and things like that. But, you know, if just someone wants to, you know, get a quick, you know, glance at what it's about, it's very much like that. But it's really, really good, albeit in a somewhat different way. You know, deeper, more complex. You know, Treasure, you know, this was, you know, kind of their first mark on the video game industry, as far as I know. And it's just, you know, filled with really great technique, you know, lots of nice little touches, a wide variety of environments, you know, lots of quirky characters and quirky animations, lots of fun. I have not downloaded the Japanese one or anything like that, so I haven't played it to say for sure that it's held up perfectly in its translation to 3DS, but I'm betting it has.
It's a really challenging game, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I kind of remember I was late to the party and didn't play it very much when it was brand new, and I went back, I think, on Virtual Console at some point and just kind of got my butt kicked.
Yeah, it's one of those that requires some practice. I don't know if it has any easier modes or anything like that. A lot of the ports of the Sega stuff to the 3DS have included new, more user-friendly modes, but I don't know if this one has anything like that. So, you know, cross my fingers that maybe it does for folks who don't want to get their butts whooped.
Yeah, for me.
But anyway, it should be awesome. So I suggest everyone checks it out.
Now, before Mario Maker comes out, we've got another Nintendo title finally hitting, right?
Yes, this is true. In just a couple of days, LBX is finally coming to the Nintendo 3DS. This will essentially be putting the end to this game drought we're going to be talking about. But, you know, I'm not sure if that's really high on everybody's radar.
It seems to be along the lines of like a Pokemon or Yo-Kai Watch, or maybe more specifically like a Fossil Fighters, that kind of kids cartoon.
Well, Fossil
vibe.
Fighters, you know, isn't a kids cartoon, but LBX is. Mm-hmm. It's a game. It's a kids cartoon. It is not a diversity expo like I keep thinking it is. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear that name, I think, oh, it's the diversity expo. But no, there's a cartoon. And yeah, in conjunction with the game coming out this weekend, they're going to have a preview at the Nintendo World Store in New York. So if you're curious about it, or if you're a fan, you can show up there this weekend and take a look at some new episodes of the cartoon. And of course, you can also play the game and see what that's all about. And you know, even though it's not something that's really you know, big on my radar, I am looking forward to, you know, trying to give it a spin.
Anybody that fondly remembers. Oh, what was the Nintendo franchise about? Custom Robots. Custom Robo. Yeah.
Anybody what is that Custom Robo franchise called? I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
Custom.
I only dabbled in Custom Robo. I think it was the GameCube version. Mm-hmm. And I haven't played LBX at all, so I don't know how close they are. But they seem fairly similar. You mix and match robot parts and then do battle. So it's a lot of you know, figuring out, you know, the stats and abilities of each part. And
plus, it's by level 5, and they make good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm curious. To be honest, I'm a little turned off by the kind of the cartoon kind of aesthetic. It just definitely has that vibe. And you can play Mario in it. To me, even though it's cutesy, it feels like it's for all ages. But something like LBX really seems to be targeted hardcore directly at middle school boys. But you never know. If the gameplay is great, it'll transcend any demographic. So. I'm curious to be able to try it out.
Yeah, I'm interested as well. Yeah, I won't be anywhere near New York this weekend, but yeah, if you are, stop by, give it a spin, see what's up. And now it is time for us to discuss our favorite weekly news topic. Amiibo! There have been a lot of the new Amiibo popping up on various online sites, looking like they're, you know, going to get ready for pre-orders or something. We're seeing them show up on Walmart. We're seeing them on Target. We're seeing them on GameStop. But they're all just placeholder pages. You can't quite order them yet. I'm talking about the Wave 5B stuff, you know, Zero Suit Samus, Ganondorf, Olimar. Now, we are seeing Dr. Mario show up specifically on Target's website, which, you know, plays into the rumor that he's going to be exclusive to that retailer. That seems highly likely.
Sad face.
And, you know, there hasn't been any sign of Bowser Jr. And, of course, the rumor for him is it's going to be a Walmart exclusive, perhaps.
Sadder face.
But, you know, something is happening. You know, another rumor that was breaking this morning is that, you know, there might not be any pre-orders for these, like at GameStop specifically, that they might have a very small allocation online, but you know, not for pre-orders. And you know, they haven't said anything about what they're going to do, if there's going to be another line with tickets in stores like it was for their 3-pack or anything like that, which, by the way, is still available the last time I checked, which was this morning.
That's crazy. It's either one extreme or the other. It's like, yeah, this 3-pack sounds like it'd be the most rare thing ever. But no, you could have lined up just today in GameStop. You could have been a line of one and yes, still gotten it. But then with the next wave, it does sound like you know, maybe we'll get lucky and we'll, again, there'll be so many that it doesn't turn out to be an issue. But I'm getting scared.
Yeah, I mean, the report, you know, on the interweb this morning is that these are going to be fairly limited. So it's really weird. I guess you would think that if they have an exclusive, you know, they would make, you know, X amount. And then if you're going to make a non-exclusive, you would make X amount available for each retailer. But no, it seems like they're just making the same amount, whether it's exclusive or not. So, you know, maybe there are, you know, 20,000 of these 3-packs that are going to GameStop, but then there are also only, you know, 20,000 Zero Suit Samuses have to be spread out amongst everybody, is kind of the way this seems to be, you know, shaping up. And I have no idea if that number is anywhere near, you know, what kind of production numbers they have. It's a completely random example. But yeah, it just kind of seems like the you know, common ones are going to be harder to get, maybe.
I'd love
so,
to.
So hey,
one
that
day
actually might you know, be okay as far as that tire exclusive Dr. Mario goes. But
yeah,
who knows?
I'd love to one day be able to sit down with whoever is ultimately in charge of Amiibo within Nintendo of America
and punch them in the face.
And after I punch them in the face, just be able to get some answers to some questions finally. You know, mm-hmm. like why, you know, exactly why were things the way they were? Where are we headed? How are things getting fixed? Even when things go well, I kind of want to know why they went well this one time.
This is going too well. What is wrong?
But that seems like the kind of the insider baseball stuff Nintendo's never really going to talk about, at least
probably.
In specific terms.
Yeah, because, I mean, these last few exclusives, the one from Amazon, the one from Best Buy, and the one from GameStop, you know, they weren't too hard to get your hands on. Yeah, we'll see what happens with these more common ones. I mean, I think that, you know, once they hit stores, it might not be so bad, but it seems like getting an advance order in is going to be kind of hairy. Who knows? It might be happening right now while we're recording. We might go out there and be like, oh, they sold out while we were talking in here.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I have to line up, I'd rather line up and then be able to buy it and walk away right then with the Amiibo. Lining up for a pre-order, even when it goes well, is still kind of lame.
Yeah. Yep. It is not so fun. But anyway, I think that takes care of the Amiibo news. I think it takes care of, you know, our news discussion for today. But before we move on, I just wanted to say congratulations to the winner of our Link action figure giveaway. That is Daniel Martin of California. And hopefully he has his figure already and is enjoying it.
Congratulations, Daniel. A winner is you.
Woohoo! But now we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll discuss the Great Game Drought of 2015. All right, we're back, and we're here to talk about surviving the Great Game Drought of 2015. And as I said earlier, if you are a Nintendo fan, you know what I'm talking about, because there has been almost nothing at retail for the last several months. You know, since April, there have only been 3 retail releases on Nintendo platforms. There has been Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, on the Nintendo 3DS, which came out all the way back in April. And, of course, you could only play that game if you bought a new Nintendo 3DS system. So, you know, most of the user base can't even play that game.
And also, that game was just a straight port anyway. I mean, there was very little in the way of new content.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love Xenoblade, I barely played this one at all yet, just because it's stuff I've experienced before.
So it only really counts as like a half point for Nintendo in the game drought situation.
Then we got Puzzle and Dragons towards the end of May, and then, of course, Splatoon also in late May. And so that has almost been 3 months since then, where we've just been, you know, struggling to get through this and not seeing, you know, anything new on store shelves. And of course, you know, there has been, you know, other stuff. There's been, of course, Smash DLC, and you know, the Mario Kart DLC came out, you know, early on during, it came out in April, I believe, right?
Maybe May,
I think it was supposed to be May, but maybe it came out a little early, or was it, anyway. But, you know, that has certainly not come out after Splatoon. It was before that. But, you know, it was stuff to keep people occupied. But still, it's like, you know, what do you do if you're a Nintendo fan?
Well, unfortunately, Nintendo fans have a certain amount of practice at this. It seems like there's always game droughts here and there. But like you said, this one, it seems especially bad. And even going farther back than that, I feel like when this year is all said and done, and this is even with in mind, there is a handful of really great titles coming out for the rest of this year. But when you add it all up, this may be one of the slowest years in recent memory, maybe ever, for Nintendo first-party output.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, when the Wii was winding down, things seeming pretty darn sad back then. But yeah, this is definitely a rough year. But hey, we're not just here to complain about it. We want to offer some suggestions of what people can do about it.
That's right. And I guess, you know, obviously there are plenty of great games that are out there for Wii U and Wii and Virtual Console and things like that. But you and I wanted to get a little bit more creative and think of some different angles for, you know, what might entertain people right now, especially leading up to the games that we've got, that we do have coming later this year.
Yeah, I want to try to come up with some ideas of, you know, people, things that people might not necessarily think about.
Yeah, and first on the top of my brain is you know, you touched on this game earlier, Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in playing Mario Maker said that it really reminds them of that old game, because that game, you know,
it's devious.
It is devious. A lot of the levels really troll you. I mean, there is a mushroom in that game that exists only to kill you.
Or shrink you.
Or shrink you.
But yeah, and there's a warp zone that sends you backwards.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously when people...
It is a pretty evil game. And that's why it didn't come out in the U.S. Because originally it was, you know, Super Mario Brothers 2. But they're like, nah, we're not going to do that to them.
Right.
We'll give them a different Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah. So we got what in Japan was called Doki Doki Panic, just kind of reskinned to be Super Mario Brothers 2 over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that game, in a way, could be great training for all of the levels that we're sure to be downloading into Super Mario Maker that are, you know, either really hard or kind of intentionally trolling the players.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is, you know, a lot more creative with the level design than the original Super Mario Brothers is. So it could give you, you know, a lot of interesting, albeit devious, ideas for designing your own levels.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good one to go back and check out. You just have to be ready for some frustration because
yeah, I mean,
it is kind of the ultimate test.
It's really hard.
It's by far the hardest Mario game ever made.
I think that's pretty fair to say. At least, you know, now that it's on, you know, current virtual console, you know, you can you know, cheat and create yourself a save state where you can go back to, you know, some really hard part or something like that, so you aren't just retrying over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But
if you're only, when you think classic Mario, if you're only really used to the levels in the original Super Mario Brothers title, then like you said, this definitely starts to train you to look at those same elements and think about them in new ways.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Another thing that, you know, occurred to me as far as, you know, getting through the gaming drought is realizing that this Wii U system I've got is backwards compatible, because I don't really think about that a whole lot. I mean, maybe some people, you know, use that feature a lot, but sometimes it occurs to me, wait a second, I can do a lot more with this system than I think about. Because I keep thinking about, you know, all these games I want to see on Virtual Console or something, like, you know, how cool it would be if they put Final Fantasy III on there, Chrono Trigger. And then I realize, wait a second, I've already got access to these games on the Wii U right now. All I have to do is switch it over to Wii mode, and I can enter the Wii Shop channel, and yes, it is still pretty archaic and awful, but it's also still running, pretty much. And you can get, you know, this vast catalog of games that, you know, otherwise aren't available on Wii. You get all this stuff from the Sega Genesis and the Neo Geo and the TurboGrafx, and, you know, then all these other games just haven't been available directly on the eShop yet, like the Square Enix catalog. You know, the Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger and ActRaiser and stuff like that. And like I said, I kind of forget about it, but it's there, and it's a really cool way to play these games, you know, on your currently active system. You have to pull the old Wii out of mothballs.
And even physical, Wii games as well. You know, you can get a lot of them for heavily discounted prices now. Mm-hmm. If, you know, maybe you bought a Wii U but didn't have a Wii, or you never got a ton of Wii games, there are some really good ones and some hidden gems as well that you probably missed. Mm-hmm. And now's, you know, in the drought, a great time to go back and take another look at that stuff. And like you said, I think the biggest reason people maybe oftentimes forget that functionality is there is it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, it's like a whole separate mode.
Yeah, you really have to reboot your system up to go into Wii mode. So it's kind of, you know, unless you're thinking about it, it's not there to remind you on the home screen, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when we did our discussion of third parties a few weeks ago, it made me think about, you know, cool third-party games that were on Wii. And on my Tumblr, I came up with a list of some of the top third-party titles people might have missed out on. One of those is Little King's Story. And you can still buy that game brand new right off of XSEED's site for, you know, only $30. I think you can also get it off Amazon for a reasonable price. So, you know, if you don't have any Wii U games to play or any new 3DS games to play, you know, pick up a copy of Little King's Story and play that for sure. It's awesome.
Yeah, I really liked Excitebox Trick Racing, which was the sequel to Excite Trucks and in a way kind of a spiritual successor along the lines of
Super Sandwich.
Yeah, the only game where you can assemble a sandwich while racing and get a Super Sandwich bonus. It's just chock full of nutty ideas that it makes a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've never actually played that game, I don't think.
You should. I should loan it to you. It's a lot more fun.
I think I own it.
It's a lot more fun than you'd think initially because take a first glance at it. It does look maybe like it's some kind of bargain bin kind of racing game, but it's actually really well made and a lot of fun, really intense. And along the Excite lines, another one that I recommend that maybe a lot of people aren't even aware exists is that there was a much not just a spiritual successor to the original Excitebike, but more of a direct sequel, Excitebike World Rally. Mm-hmm. This was released well into the Wii's life cycle.
Well, it was released as WiiWare.
So yeah, digital only.
In addition to packaged Wii software and virtual console, there's all this WiiWare stuff that you can play on your Wii U right now.
Right, and World Rally is kind of a 2.5D Excitebike experience, very much like the original. You can create your own levels like the original, I believe. And it's a lot of fun. And I just kind of rediscovered it on my own Wii U and was playing it again recently. Mm-hmm. And so if anyone's kind of seen the Excitebike character or been exposed to the Excitebike franchise through maybe the Excitebike level in Mario Kart 8 that got released in the first batch of DLC, or even the Excitebike kind of assist trophy that's in the Smash Brothers games, and want to check out where it all came from. You know, this is much easier to go back to and play World Rally than the original NES Excitebike, which, you know, doesn't hold up as well today.
And, you know, if you're like me, and when Club Nintendo was going away, wound up with, you know, like, what was it, you know, 10 or 15 download codes for cook-off or grill-off with Ultra Hand because there was nothing else to spend your points on, you know, you can be sure to fire up the Wii Shop channel in Wiimote on your Wii U, and then, you know, use at least one of the codes that way.
Yeah, and while we're talking about WiiWare, some of the ones that stick out to me the most is Konami's Rebirth games.
Konami, I seem to remember that name. They were a good company once upon a time.
Yeah, they used to make a lot of great games. Now they do like Pachinko and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Sad.
I think they run maybe a prison system or something like that now instead of making games. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, back when they made games, they made some good ones.
Yes.
And, you know, for anyone who, wishes there was another Castlevania, maybe you missed Castlevania Rebirth, which was technically a remake of a Game Boy Castlevania title, but was,
yeah, I mean,
for all
it
intents
uses
and purposes,
some of the same elements, but basically a new game.
Basically a new game.
Yeah, you were talking great about that one last week. You were saying if there was a new Castlevania game, you'd want it to be like this one.
Yeah, and it's classic Castlevania. It's not like a Metroid-style Castlevania.
Right, no leveling up or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a straightforward action, but it's amazing. And along the same lines, there's a Contra Rebirth, which is, you know, the last really good Contra game that came out.
Uh-huh.
And
I really like Contra. Contra's my favorite out of this group, I think.
And Gradius Rebirth, you know, kind of a rebirth of the old shooter series. So, you know, those are three titles that you can get a very classic gaming experience with, but still feels fairly fresh and new because they're not, you know, from the 8 or 16-bit era, so they're not limited by the tech of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of WiiWare that came out back during the Wii era, you know, a lot of people just missed out on it for one reason or another. So, if you're looking for something cool, switch over to Wiimote and grab those. Interesting thing about those Rebirth games, though, is that they were developed not internally at Konami, but by M2, which is the same studio doing all of the Sega 3DS ports.
Oh, nice. I think I knew that they had some outside help, but I didn't know who was involved. So that's cool.
And speaking of which, yeah, all of those games would be, you know, great to experience. I'm talking, of course, about those remastered versions of Sega's Genesis and arcade classics. Most recently, Streets of Rage 2 came out. We already covered in the news that Gunstar Heroes is about to come out. Streets of Rage 2, you know, just being one of my all-time favorite 16-bit games, a really fun beat-em-up. You know, there are four diverse characters. You know, the enemies are real fun. You know, a very wide array of moves. And, of course, it's got two-player co-op, and I've done co-op with, you know, some of the other guys here in the office, and that is an absolute blast. And also, it has some of the best 3D that I've ever seen on the 3DS. Like, it looks like, you know, these little characters moving around, that's a little 3D diorama. And there's even a thing where you can make it look like they're popping out of the screen. You can even make it look like, you know, they're going back into the screen or popping out of the screen, which is quite a trippy effect if you set it to that one. But aside from Streets of Rage 2, there's Streets of Rage 1. There's the original Sonic the Hedgehog. There's Altered Beast. And then there's like all these arcade games that, you know, were, you know, originally made in, you know, pseudo 3D and now have these real stereoscopic 3D effects. So we've got Space Harrier and Outrun and Afterburner and Galaxy Force, and they just work really, really well on the 3DS. They all have extra features and modes. And, you know, Sega's done a fantastic job with pretty much all of these titles, at least that I've experienced. So, you know, that's something I highly, highly recommend checking out.
Playing those old games in 3D also just makes it feel a little bit more fresh. Like
I forgot to say Shinobi 3.
But I'd played, you know, because they have a 3D version of Kid Icarus that you can play as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd play the original Kid Icarus enough that I probably don't need to ever play it again. But when I saw that they had a 3D version, and I think they even maybe made some gameplay adjustments in that version, I was like, oh, okay, that's enough to twist my arm and get me to enjoy this classic once again.
Yeah, it was kind of cool that Nintendo picked a selection of 3D classics, and that was actually what they were calling them, was, you know, the 3D classics series. But they only did 6 titles, and it was an odd mix. There was, you know, some cool stuff like Kid Icarus and Excitebike. I think they did Urban Champion, of all things.
Yeah.
And then they picked up a couple of you know, third-party shooters, and there must have been one other that I can't remember right now. But they did those 6, and they're just like, okay, we're done. And never did anything else with it. And meanwhile, Sega continues to bring these out and go back to that well and do it very, very successfully, I would say.
Recently, I've been going back, and I think I may have mentioned this in the last couple of podcasts, I've been going back and playing some classic Game Boy titles on Virtual Console.
Oh, right.
I played Donkey Kong 94, which is an amazing game. It holds up really well because it's mostly action puzzle gameplay. So it's, even if the graphics look old, the gameplay isn't held back. I would highly recommend that one to anybody looking for, you know, the classic Mario or Donkey Kong kind of fun. And along those lines, there's a game most people never heard of, but it's a real kind of hidden gem in the Game Boy library, which is Mole Mania.
Oh yeah, you were mentioning that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can download that one and play it. It's, again, it's kind of a puzzly kind of gameplay. And it's one of those you could see maybe in an alternate reality that mole character would have gone on to become kind of a, you know, endearing Nintendo mascot. But for whatever reason, just I guess the game didn't get enough traction, so that didn't happen. But it's a lot of fun. And also along the lines of classic Game Boy, even though it's a relatively new title, is Box Boy from HAL. I've sung the praises of this game before. It's the same folks that made Kirby. And they made a very retro-looking, Game Boy-inspired, minimalist kind of puzzle action game. And it's just really amazing. It's only like $5, I believe, and definitely worth checking out for 3DS. Again, it's a brand-new title, not Virtual Console, but it really embodies the best of kind of like modern
game design.
Well,
I mean, it's black and white, so it's got this very retro-y Game Boy-style aesthetic, so... You know, I could see people kind of thinking, oh, this kind of looks like a Game Boy game, but yeah. It's totally not.
It still feels like rooted in the past in that way, but also very new. I mean, there are no classic games that play like it. It's a very unique style of game. And also one you can get a lot of good time out of because there's a lot of incentive to go back in, get a crown on every level, and you know, there's a lot of unlockable kind of bonus content to play through as well. And speaking of great games that we've mentioned on the podcast before, Zeo Drifter.
Yes.
You know, it was originally for 3DS. It was a very Metroid-inspired game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, you recommended it to me. In fact, you twisted
That's
my
right.
arm.
That's right. I kept telling you, you got to play it. Got to play it.
It's a relatively short game, but you can get a little bit more time out of it by, you know, finding all of the upgrades. But it's recently been released for Wii U. And if you buy one version, you get the other at no extra charge.
That's right.
So it's now
it's the first cross-buy game on Nintendo systems, I think.
Yeah. So if you missed it the first time around, now's a great time to grab both of these versions for relatively low price. And again, it's like, you know, we're not going to get a real Metroid game, it looks like,
That's
on
true.
The Wii U. So if you want to scratch that Metroid itch, this is how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similarly, you know, Shantae is, you know, quite very much the same structure. And there are Shantae downloadable tiles you can pick up on the Wii U and on the 3DS. So, you know, give that one a spin as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of these, you know, indie games will really make up for the lack of first-party titles recently, I'd say. You know, another title that came out fairly recently but without much fanfare was Earthbound Zero. You know, that was a game that, you know, we were at Nintendo Power. People were always, you know, writing in saying this is one of the games they want to see on the system the most. And, you know, we finally got that long-lost English translation that was supposed to be on the NES but never came out. And they just, you know, quietly announced it during the Nintendo World Championships. But, you know, it's out there. It's available. And sure, it's a little on the archaic side. You know, you'll play it and you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this doesn't quite hold up to, you know, modern RPG standards in some ways. But, you know, it's a really cool piece of gaming history. And, of course, being an RPG, it's something you can really sink a lot of time into. And, you know, see what was going on in the Earthbound world before Ness and his friends went on their adventure. So I think that's another one that is, you know, totally worth your time on during this game in drought.
Yeah, I've yet to download it myself, but I do plan to check it out because even though, like you say, the gameplay, you know, it's an NES RPG, so it's pretty archaic. But the series is primarily known for its humor and its writing and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to experience the story. And also, just historically, the Mother series, as it's called in Japan, has been a very, very important and influential one on Nintendo platforms, although its success has primarily been overseas. So it's just another little bit of Nintendo history that I feel like I need to be more aware of.
But heck, for that matter, you know, Earthbound is also on Virtual Console, so, you know, play that one again, too.
That's
right.
It's
awesome. It's a great, great way to spend a lot of time while you're wait for Mario Maker or whatever.
And the 16-bit graphics are much easier on the eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't exactly cutting-edge 16-bit even back in the day.
Yeah, it's colorful and cute, though. It kind of fits.
But, yeah, it's certainly very, very charming at any rate. But, you know, aside from, you know, digging into the downloadable catalog and the virtual console stuff, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with, you know, maybe some games that you already have.
Yeah, like I've got a stack of games that I'd primarily finished, but I keep meaning to go back to anyway. Like New Super Mario Brothers. I've finished everything in the typical, I don't know what you call it, campaign mode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm talking about New Super Mario Brothers Wii U.
Mm.
I've done everything you can do in the regular mode, but that game in particular has all these extra kind of bonus challenges. That is a whole separate mode that you select from the main menu.
Oh, that's right.
And I'd forgotten about that for a long time.
Totally forgot about it until just now.
Yeah. But there's ones, a lot of them were like, you know, can you keep bopping on things' heads and keep from touching the ground for a certain amount of time? There are different challenges like speed runs. Then you talk about...
I think I did maybe one or two of those before I, again, lost all my data.
Yeah, and
I have the whole game to go back to. Like, hey, it's like I'm playing it brand new again because it's been, you know, like more than 2.5 years since that happened.
Yeah, and don't forget about New Super Luigi as well, which has faster paced, more challenging levels.
That's true.
And then you've got – I put Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze in this weekend and realized that there is still even though I've beaten the game, each world has several levels that I haven't yet unlocked because I haven't exited a world using a certain path to unlock that on the map. Or I haven't, collected all the Kong letters on each stage, which opens up a whole new world. So there's a lot of content there that I've kind of yet to experience. And, you know, I keep meaning to play through Zelda, A Link Between Worlds again as
yes.
well, because I believe it unlocks, when you beat it the first time, you unlock like a harder mode, right?
Yeah, there's a second difficulty mode.
Yeah, and that was such a fun game. I just want to experience it again anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a tougher mode it gives me a good reason to go back. Same with... the original Super Mario Galaxy, which I sometimes fire up on my Wii U using, you know, the Wii emulation or what have you.
Are you playing it in Wii mode then?
Yeah, I'm actually playing it Wii mode.
Or are you talking about the fact you can download some Wii titles now on your Wii U? I mean, if it's you're talking about the original Super Mario
the
Galaxy?
The original, not
okay,
the
that
sequel.
One's not on there yet, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just Galaxy 2.
The original in particular, Galaxy 2, I've done everything there is to do on it. But the first one, because you beat it normally and then you get the option to play through all the levels again as Luigi. But there's only one extra level that you can unlock that way, and it's at the very end. So you have to do everything again, get all the stars all over again, and then there's that one last challenge you can only play as Luigi after a lot more hours. And I've been slowly over the years kind of working my way through that whenever the mood hits me. So that's another one I go back to when I want to play, you know, and particularly I want to play some Nintendo goodness, but I don't have anything new stacked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I have not ever completed 101% yet myself either. But sorry, I interrupted you there because it started getting me thinking. Yeah, if you don't have access to those physical games, there's that downloadable stuff on Wii U, the full-fledged Wii games of Galaxy 2 and Punch-Out. And Pandora's Tower came out last week. And I'm certainly not going to say that, you know, Pandora's Tower is a fantastic game because it has its share of flaws. But it has a lot of really cool elements. It has a very neat and interesting story. It has really cool characters. And, you know, even if the play mechanics don't really, work out 100%, it's really cool that they tried some of the things that, you know, the way you use the Wii Remote to target for grappling and these whip-like attacks with your chain. And so now that that's available on as a downloadable title in the eShop, I think that might be another one that people might want to go back and experience as well.
Yeah, definitely. I was always curious about that game, but I think I'd lost interest in the Wii by the time it finally came out. So
yeah, I mean, again, it's one that is still available. You can go out and buy the disc for, I don't know what it sells for in the eShop, but it's probably, you know, comparable to what you can get the disc for these days.
And then when all else fails, I sometimes just pop into the into the eShop and see what demos they have. And
demos?
Sometimes I'm surprised that they've got demos for games I didn't know they had demos for.
Hmm, demos.
They've had them for Rayman Legends, which sold me on buying the full game. They've got it for Sonic and Sonic's Friends and Sonic All-Star Sonic Racing. And the Resident Evil title that came out originally for 3DS. What was the title of that one again?
Revelations.
Right. And eventually came out for Wii U. I believe that has a demo as well. So,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, good ways to, you know, waste some time and maybe you get turned on to something else.
Yeah, I don't think I could sell for a demo myself. I think I'd rather, you know, find some low price thing in the eShop, you know, buy a full game for, you know, $6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sink my teeth into that instead of one of these demos. Because, you know, you can only play them 30, nope, now it's down to 29, nope, now it's down to 28 times you can play this one, because my brother played it when I wasn't looking. One last thing I think I would suggest, this isn't something you can sink a lot of time into, but I've been talking to a lot of my friends recently and was surprised to discover that a lot of them have not picked up the last batch of Street Pass games for 3DS. And, you know, I just really recommend that fishing game. It is a lot of fun. You know, it doesn't have any of the boring parts or most of the frustration that's found in, you know, more realistic fishing games. And it's it's by Prope. Yuji Naka is involved, and it's got, you know, some of his weird, quirky story elements that make it seem like more than just a fishing game. It had like a surprisingly emotional ending. I finally beat the game, you know, not 100%, but, you know, like as far as the story stuff goes, I finally finished everything just a couple weeks ago. And it has a surprisingly emotional ending.
I guess we should have expected it from the man whose Prope Studio made on Wii. For WiiWare, I believe, made a game where you just threw a baseball back and forth over and over again while discussing, like, life philosophies.
He made Let's Catch.
And also, but also, Sonic, co-creator of Sonic.
Yep.
For those that don't know.
But yeah, the fishing game is a lot of fun. And, even if I haven't been getting a lot of Street Passes lately, I'll still go in there, you know, every day. And I'll be like, okay, I'll spend my 10 play coins from today and I'll, you know, get 10 helpers to assist me, and I can, you know, do a couple minutes of fishing. And like I said, not something you'll play in big chunks at all, but for a few minutes a day, I would say it's lots of fun.
I haven't kept up with the last couple of games, that one and the zombie game.
Zombie one isn't bad either.
Yeah.
I would also recommend that. And actually, as far as, you know, gameplay time goes, that's one where you can actually get, you know, a good chunk of gameplay out of just a handful of street passes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't kept up with either of those nearly as good as you, but I do think that they're, I support your recommendation. I do think that, especially among the other street pass titles, they're two of the best. And and like you said, even just looking at it not as a street pass title but as a simple kind of arcade style fishing game, it's a lot more satisfying for me than most other real fishing games.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think that takes care of all of the ideas that I've got for how to survive this gaming drought, and probably all the ideas that you've got. But certainly, if anyone listening to this has some other ideas they'd like to add, we would love to hear them. Maybe we can discuss them in the future. But drop us an email or send us a tweet. The email address is powerprospod@gmail.com. So let us know.
Yeah, definitely give us those tips, because we all need help surviving these droughts.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, it's not that long. You know, maybe LBX will take care of things for us in just a couple of days. But then we got Mario Maker a little bit after that. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, hopefully, between that stuff and some of the stuff we talked about today, you will survive to game another day. And I think that's kind of a show. But before we go, it's time for a dramatic reading. This time featuring the back of the box of the NES game, Dr. Chaos. Michael must rescue his brother, Dr. Chaos, from the weird results of a scientific experiment gone haywire. But the haunted house is filled with bloodthirsty creatures, booby traps, and life force challenges. They try to prevent Michael from finding the special weapons and vials of secret strength he needs to save Dr. Chaos and himself. Three different screen patterns. A dangerous maze of corridors guarded by evil creatures and monsters. Mysterious rooms that conceal both dangers and life-saving weapons. Space warp to another time and place where death and destruction await. Thriller graphics. Graphic score pad to track life force, weapons found, and weapons in use. Memory capacity to save your score and restart the game from where you left off. I have no idea of most of the things I just said.
It saves your score?
So it claims.
Wow. Do you think the brother kind of like takes a lot of crap at home because his brother is a doctor?
Well, If his brother is Dr. Chaos, then presumably your character is Michael Chaos. So I don't know. Who's going to get in your face with that name?
I think if your last name is Chaos, you kind of have to become a doctor or something, because Michael Chaos just doesn't work.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No. Well, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Check out The Hoff's blog called Still Playing With Power, which you can find at christhehoff.tumblr.com. And as Hoff mentioned before, you can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com about, your drought games or anything. And, hey, if you like the podcast, we always appreciate it if you can drop by iTunes and just drop us a little rating there. It really helps us get discovered by more folks.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And our good friend Ryan.
Ryan time, baby.
We will see you next time.